Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
He's always been a giant, with, shall we say, a unique connection with his young fans.
My dad says you don't work hard enough on defense, and that you don't really try, except during the playoffs.
The hell I don't. Listen, kid, I've been hearing that crap ever since I was at UCLA. I'm out there busting my buns every night.
Busting his buns for the LA Lakers, with some time out for cameos in the movies, that's from the classic Airplane, on his way to becoming one of the very few absolute legends in the NBA.
On behalf of the millions of fans who you have thrilled for 15 years, it is my great honor and pleasure to congratulate you on becoming the highest scorer in the history of the National Basketball Association.
That's right, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the giant himself, all 7 feet 2 inches of him, dropped by our studio the other day to talk about his unique relationship with his fans, many of whom are still young, even though he's pushing 65.
Thank heaven for ESPN Classic, you know, because they still show our games. And being the all-time leading scorer in the NBA, my name helps. Is up there.
That helps. Yeah, that does definitely help.
Because I talk to kids now who weren't born when I played, and they know all my stats now. It's amazing.
But it's not ESPN Classic that's keeping Big Kareem in the game. He brought along his new children's book, What Color Is My World? And it introduces young people to the little-known history of African-American inventors, a history that provides an alternative to the fame and sports-obsessed lifestyle he sees kids embracing more and more these days.
My motivation had to do with the fact that when I was a kid, African-Americans only appeared in history books with relationship to the issues of slavery and civil rights. And there's so much more to the story of African-Americans in America, but none of it got told. And the achievements that black people have made just are either ignored or suppressed or something, but they don't get out there. And the consequence is that you have generations of kids growing up in minority communities who think that they're only chances for success have to do with in the field of sports and entertainment.
Yeah, it's interesting. So the incompleteness of the African-American story leads people to idolize and adopt you and folks like you in the NBA and the NFL right. As role models when they really should be looking more broadly.
They should be looking more broadly, but you ask the average African-American kid who his heroes are, and it's going to be Michael Jordan and Jay-Z. And
LeBron.
Everything beyond that is
Obama. Obama's in there, probably.
Thank God, you know. But this is just in the last 3 years.
Yeah, indeed.
You know, I have friends that teach, you know, and now they're able to tell the kids, you know, that don't want to study, who would say, well, I don't want to study. Where can it get me? Now the teachers can tell them, well, you could be president.
Right.
That wasn't possible before. But this is so new. And it's a shame that we've come to this point.
Well, it's interesting because you describe the sort of modeling and mentoring issues for African-American young people are challenging. And, you know, you got DJ, you got athlete, you add president to that. But even still, the picture is incomplete. What I love about this book is you describe African-Americans who succeed in the sciences and engineering and as entrepreneurs. And you really tell in a terrifically compelling way just how episodic our knowledge is. For instance, when George Washington Carver inevitably comes up in this book, you've got a great line in there, oh, the peanut guy.
Right.
That's what everybody knows.
That's it.
And that's what you knew, too, growing up, right?
Right. That's all that was pointed out to us. And there was so much more there, but because it has been ignored, I think gender and race are two factors that immediately put certain people on the sidelines in terms of what they achieved.
And indeed, some of these very successful inventors that are in this book, What Color Is My World, had some difficulty.
Yeah, they all had difficulty.
They all did. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to study the fields that they ended up being so transcendent in, they had a hard time studying.
Can I give people a sense of the contrasts of characters that you've got in here?
Sure.
For instance, there's Daniel Hale Williams, who was one of the very first to conduct open heart surgery.
Open heart surgery, yes.
You know, that's like saving lives, saving the world.
Absolutely.
And then a couple of pages later, you've got Alfred L. Krall. Is that the right way of pronouncing his name?
Yes.
Who invented, ladies and gentlemen, drum roll please,
the ice cream scoop.
Well,
yes.
I mean, talk about impact
it's
on
important,
humanity.
Man. Go to Baskin Robbins. Come on.
That's right. Now, how did you go about investigating some of these stories?
Well, I did a book in 1996. It was an overview of Black American history, and I devoted a whole chapter to Lewis Latimer. And in studying about Lewis Latimer, I learned about a lot of the inventors in the 19th century, and that really put me on this whole issue. And then just a couple years ago, I decided that we needed to focus on this just to give a broader outlook as to what is possible. They think their only hope is to, you know, pick up a football or, you know, be a rapper. I think...
So how does this sound, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Put down that football and study, because you too might invent something like the bread machine. Joseph Lee.
Yes.
Before the 20th century, he invented the bread machine. That's a crazy story.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a humble upbringing in Boston. He basically did what Thomas Edison did. He got sort of annoyed at all of the work associated with baking bread, and he decided, you know, a machine could do this a lot more easily, and I'd have a little time to kick up.
Yeah, and because of his knowledge of the process, he was able to figure out how to do it mechanically.
The way you tell the story is pretty interesting, too, because it says how accessible this is. It's a story of a family moving into a new home, and a kind of a handyman comes over to do some of the repairs, and he's got a hammer, and he works with tools, and he knows a lot about a lot of things. And all of a sudden, as the little kid in the home is a little bit skeptical of you know, what's going on here and who's this guy, he says, hey, this house is a museum full of objects that were invented by African Americans, and begins to tell the tale. So, you know, not only do you tell the story of the inventors, but you suggest that this knowledge is just right around the corner.
It's so accessible, and it's so intimately involved in our lives, and yet the connections aren't made. So just by pointing the light in the right direction, we're able to make these connections and help kids get a better idea of what's out there and what's possible for them.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, do you miss at all being the kind of role model you were when you were playing for the Lakers?
No, I don't. It was a great life. It was wonderful life, but, you know, that was then and this is now, and I think doing this is even more fulfilling.
You spend a lot of time with kids, right, in classrooms and things?
Well, I talk to kids when I get the chance.
And where do you go from here in terms of maintaining this relationship that seems to be so important to you of not only being a role model but being a broader mentor on this sense of history and kind of passing something on?
Just published a documentary I did on the early days of professional basketball has been released. It's called On the Shoulders of Giants, and it talks about the early days of professional basketball and all the things that these young men had to overcome in order to be recognized.
This love affair you seem to have with Isaac Newton, you know, this idea that nothing gets done by one person, that
exactly.
You stand on the shoulders, as Isaac Newton said, of giants.
If I've seen anything, it's only by standing on the shoulders of giants. And his acknowledgement that things come to us not in one big lump, but it's really piecemeal, and it's like a bucket brigade. You know, the idea gets passed along and enhanced by successive people who apply themselves to it.
My kids will insist that I ask this question. It's all over for the Miami Heat, right?
Geez, I don't know. They've got work to do. But, you know, basketball is a team game. You can have stars out there, but you have to have a team. You know, it has to be a lot of guys working together. It's not about the individual.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, NBA Hall of Famer, Los Angeles Lakers legend, of course. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton yesterday named you the U.S. Global Cultural Ambassador for the State Department.
Yes, and I'm very proud of that. I get to follow in the footsteps of one of my heroes, Louis Armstrong, who did the same thing for President Kennedy and made us all very proud.
Another great story. His new children's book is called What Color Is My World? The Lost History of African-American Inventors. Thanks so much.
My pleasure to be here. Thanks for talking to me.
Ambassador Kareem Abdul-Jabbar dropped by our studios earlier this week. It was great.
Yeah. Earlier this hour, we were talking about childhood obesity, and Atlanta Hospital has started running a provocative ad campaign. It shows images of overweight kids distressed about the challenges they face in life. And here's what one caller had to say.
Hi, this is Jeff from Nashville. I work in a hospital setting, and the obesity problem is enormous. And I think it's a good idea to use some tough language, because later in life it makes our health care bills add up and it costs us all a lot of money.
No argument over how serious the obesity problem is. Childhood obesity has tripled in the past 30 years. But what do you think is the right way to address it and help kids lose weight? Give us your call at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post your comments at thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. Have a great weekend, folks. This is The Takeaway.